Okay, I want everyone listening to just picture this for a second. Maybe not if you're driving, but it's, say, 11 p.m. on a Tuesday. You're deep in a coding session. You're using one of the big AI tools, Claude Code, Copilot, whatever, and it feels magical. It's writing code, fixing bugs, but you're miserable.
I know this feeling.
I
I know
know.
exactly where you're going with
You're
this.
just stuck. You're glued to the screen, watching every single line scroll by. You have to approve every file edit, run the test yourself. You have to catch it when it, tries to import a library from 2018.
Yep. You're not coding anymore.
No.
You're babysitting. You've become this highly paid human-in-the-loop bottleneck for a robot that's super fast but has like zero attention span.
The babysitting problem. That is it. And that's the whole context for our deep dive today. We are looking at a brand new tool. I mean, it was literally released today, January 28th, 2026. It's called RALPHX.
RALPHX, yep, version 0.5.0.
And the promise here is, well, it's huge. It basically says, stop babysitting, start managing.
It's a really interesting shift in philosophy. The documentation calls it an extended Ralph loop, and the name is kind of a joke, which we should definitely get to.
Oh, well.
But the architecture underneath is serious. It's trying to solve one of the biggest problems with AI coding right now, which is context degradation.
Okay, let's unpack that right away. Context degradation. It sounds like what happens to my brain after too many meetings? What does it mean for an AI?
So just think about a normal session. You open a chat with an AI, you ask it to build a feature, it writes some code, you paste in an error message, it fixes it, you ask for a small change.
Right, the conversation gets longer and longer.
Exactly. And as it gets longer, that context window, the AI's short-term memory, it just fills up with code, with logs, with your chat history. The signal-to-noise ratio
So it
plummets.
starts to forget what you told it at the beginning.
It totally does. It gets confused and makes mistakes it wasn't making an hour ago. We call it drifting.
So the longer you work with it, the dumber it gets.
In a nutshell, yes. And RALPHX solves this with something that sounds kind of radical. It refuses to have a long conversation.
What do you mean?
For every single task it performs, it spins up a completely fresh, brand new Claude Code session.
Wait, you're kidding. So it wipes its memory clean after every step?
Every single time. It treats the AI like a temp worker who just walked in. It says, here's the code on disk. Here's one specific thing to do. Go. The AI does it, and then poof, the session is gone.
And for the next task.
Brand new session, empty context window, no baggage. It forces the AI to look at the reality of the code on the hard drive, not what it thinks it remembers from a messy chat log.
That is actually brilliant. It's like Memento for software, but in a good way. But okay, if it has no memory, how does it know what to build?
Yeah.
It needs some kind of master plan, right?
That's the whole workflow. You shift from chatting to planning. Your input isn't a prompt, it's a markdown file that you put in a docs plans folder.
I saw the examples. It looks almost too simple. It's just headers and like to-do list checkboxes.
It looks simple, yeah, but it has teeth. And the teeth are in the section called validation commands. This is the game changer.
Okay.
You don't just say, task one, add a login button. You also have to specify under that validation header something like go test or npm run lint.
So you're defining what done means before it even writes a single line of code.
Precisely. So RALPHX reads the plan, finds the first unchecked box, spins up that fresh session, writes the code, and then it automatically runs those validation commands.
And if the tests fail.
It sees the error, stays in that same session, tries to fix a code, and runs the command again. It'll just iterate until it gets a success code. Only then does it mark the checkbox with an X.
Wow, that's rigorous.
Yeah.
It's not just I wrote something that looks like code, it's I wrote code that verifiably works according to your criteria.
And here's the part you'll love, because I know you hate messy Git histories. It handles all the version control.
Oh, really?
When you start a plan, it automatically creates a new Git branch for you named after the plan file. And after every single task passes its validation,
Let me guess, it auto-commits.
it automatically commits the changes cleanly. So if your plan has 10 tasks, you walk away for an hour, you come back to 10 beautiful atomic commits. Implemented feature A, fixed bug B.
That is beautiful. That is so much better than my usual commit message, which is just WIP, please work.
We've all been there. But this,
No.
I mean, it forces a certain discipline.
Okay, but I have to play devil's advocate. This sounds amazing, but writing that plan file, that sounds like work. If I have to type out this whole detailed markdown file, am I just trading one type of boring task for another?
That is the main hurdle, for sure. If you can't clearly explain what you want, the tool is useless. But the creators knew we'd all be lazy.
Good.
So RawFX has an interactive planning mode. You can just go to your terminal and type RawFX plan and then just, like, a vague idea.
So I can just shout, add caching to the API edit.
You can. And instead of just guessing, it spins up an agent to actually read your code base. It looks at your files, and then it starts asking you questions.
Like a consultant.
Exactly like a consultant. It'll say, okay, I see you're using Go. Do you want an in-memory cache or should we use Redis? You type Redis. Then it asks, okay, should I add a Redis container to your Docker Compose file? You say yes.
So it helps you think through the problem.
It helps you flesh out the details. And when you're done with that conversation, it generates the detailed markdown plan file for you. It writes the tasks, adds the validation commands, everything. You just have to approve it.
Like, completely changes the dynamic. You're not the bricklayer anymore. You're the architect signing off on the blueprints.
That's the perfect analogy. But, and this is a huge but, we all know that just because code passes its unit tests.
Oh, it doesn't mean it's good code. Not at all.
You can write the most horrifying spaghetti code that passes every single test. It works, but it's unreadable, it's insecure, it's a nightmare to maintain.
So how does RawFX stop the AI from just writing technically correct garbage?
This was the part of the docs that just blew my mind. They call it the review gauntlet.
The review gauntlet. I like it.
This is where it stops being a simple task runner and becomes more like a synthetic engineering team. Once the code is written and passes validation, we enter phase two, the first code review.
Okay.
And for this, RawFX spins up five different AI agents that run in parallel to review the code.
Five. Five different agents just for review.
Five. And they each have distinct roles, almost like personality.
All right, let's meet the team. Who are they?
So first you have the quality agent. This is your pessimist. It's looking for bugs, the test miss, race conditions, subtle logic errors.
Okay.
Then there's the implementation agent. Its only job is to compare the code to the original plan and ask, did we actually build what was asked for, or did we go off on a tangent?
The scope creep police. I love it.
Then you have a dedicated testing agent, which looks at the quality of the tests themselves, not just if they pass, and a documentation agent to check for comments and re-edit me updates.
That's four. What's the fifth one? This is my favorite.
The simplification agent.
Yes. I love that this exists.
Yeah.
Because AIs love to over-engineer things.
They absolutely do. They'll create a factory abstract interface manager when all you needed was one simple function. The simplification agent's only job is to look at the code and basically yell, you're trying too hard, make it simpler.
That's incredible. So you have these five different perspectives.
Yeah.
All arguing about the code at the same time.
Exactly. And RawFX gathers all their feedback. If any of them flag a major issue, the whole thing stops. The main agent has to go back, fix the code based on the review, commit the fix, and then run the entire gauntlet again.
That is intense. It's like a code review with five senior engineers just roasting your pull request.
But it leads to better code. And we're not even done. That was just phase two.
There's more. There's a phase three.
There is. Phase three is designed to solve a problem called model blindness.
Hmm.
If you use Claude to write code and then you use Claude to review that code,
it might miss its own bad habits. It's an echo chamber.
You got it. So how do you break the echo chamber?
You bring in an outsider.
Phase three, the external review. If you enable it, RawFX calls out to a completely different model. It uses Codex, which is powered by GPT 5.2.
So you're switching from an anthropic model to an open AI model just for the audit.
Precisely. And the settings it uses for this call are wild. It sets the reasoning effort to X high and has a timeout of 3,600,000 milliseconds.
I'm doing the math. Okay, so that's an hour. It gives the AI up to an hour to think about the code.
Up to an hour, yes. The goal isn't speed. It's deep, slow, methodical reasoning. It's letting GPT 5.2 do a forensic audit of Claude's work.
And if Codex finds something,
Claude has to fix it. And then finally, there's a phase four, the final check, where the quality and implementation agents run one last time just to make sure the fixes didn't introduce any new problems.
And only then, after all that, the fresh session, the passing tests, the five internal agents, the external super brain, and the final check, only then does the little checkbox get marked X.
Only then.
That is just wildly rigorous. Honestly, that's more rigorous than those human teams have been on.
It basically automates the bureaucracy of good engineering. It forces the machine to prove its work over and over again.
Let's talk about the user experience. You said it's a command line tool. Am I just staring at a wall of text scrolling by for an hour while this happens?
You could, but they knew that would be awful. So there's a web dashboard. You run RealfX Serve, and it pops open a browser window on your local machine.
I saw screenshots. It looks really slick, very dark mode, very hacker looking.
It's meant to feel like a mission control center. And the color coding is super helpful. The execution phase is green. The internal review phase is cyan.
And the external codex review is magenta, right?
So you can just glance over at your other monitor, see a big magenta progress bar, and know, okay, the external auditor is thinking now. And it streams all the agent logs in real time, so you can literally watch them argue.
And what if I'm running multiple projects? I saw there's a watch flag.
Yeah, this is where the manager metaphor really clicks. You can have RealfX working on three different plans in three different terminals, and the dashboard aggregates them all into one view. You're monitoring your team of autonomous workers.
It really is the delegation era of coding.
And one last thing on usability that I think is critical, the customization. We talked about those five agents, like the simplification agent, but what if you don't want that? What if you're building, I don't know, a bank vault and you actually want complexity?
Can you just fire the agent?
You can. They aren't hard-coded. They're just text files in your config folder. .configuralfexagents.
So they're literally just system prompts you can edit.
That's all they are. You can open them in a text editor, delete one, or more importantly, you can write your own.
So I could create like a security.txt agent.
Exactly. You could create a new agent file, write a prompt that says, you are a paranoid security auditor. Check every line of code for SQL injection vulnerabilities and check every API for auth headers.
And then just add it to the review gauntlet.
You just reference it in your config, agent.security, and boom. Now, every piece of code the AI generates is being reviewed by your own custom security expert. You are literally programming the engineering culture of your robot team.
That's incredibly powerful. You're setting the standards.
You're deciding what good means for your project.
Okay, we have to talk about the name RealfX. And the GitHub repo is explicitly tagged Ralph Wiggum.
It is.
For anyone who doesn't know, Ralph Wiggum from The Simpsons, the I'm helping kid who eats paste.
It's a fantastic self-aware piece of developer humor. Yeah. They're making fun of the current state of AI. We've all had that moment where the AI confidently spits out something that is just complete nonsense.
I glued my head to my shoulder.
That's the one. It's trying to help, but it's just wrong. But the X in RealfX and this whole four-phase review gauntlet, it suggests something more. It's like Ralph Wiggum grew up and got a PhD in computer science from MIT.
So it's Ralph, but now he's a senior staff engineer with a clipboard and no patience for bad code.
It's acknowledging the core model can be a bit goofy, but it wraps it in a process so rigorous that the outcome is professional grade.
It's very humble branding for a very serious tool. So this is out now. People can go get it.
Yep. Released today. It's open source. You can install it as a standalone tool or as a plugin right inside Claude Code.
Right. The RealfX command.
You can do that, but I think the real power is the standalone mode, the ability to just fire off a command and walk away. Freeing up your own mental context window is the real prize here.
It's a totally different way of working. Is it for everyone, though?
I'd say no. It's for the developer who is comfortable letting go. If you need to hover and micromanage every variable name as it's being typed, this tool will drive you insane.
Because you have to wait for the process.
You have to trust the process. And most importantly, you have to be good at planning. Garbage in, garbage out has never been more true.
Right. If you write a bad plan with weak validation rules,
RealfX will very efficiently, autonomously, and rigorously build you the wrong thing and have five agents confirm that it perfectly implemented your bad idea.
The bottleneck moves from typing to thinking.
Which is where it probably should have been all along.
So, RealfX, solving the context problem with fresh sessions, solving the trust problem with a multi-agent review board, and giving us a cool dashboard to watch it all happen.
It really does feel like the end of the AI babysitting era.
So that wraps up our deep dive, a tool that lets you step back and let the robots argue about code complexity for you.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Before we sign off, here's a final thought. We talked about creating custom agents for security or simplification. If this workflow becomes standard, how long until someone builds an office politics agent?
What do you mean?
An agent that checks the code and says, hold on, we can't build this feature. The marketing team hasn't approved the budget, and Dave in sales promised this other thing first.
Please don't give anyone any ideas. The last thing we need is an AI that knows how to block a pull request for political reasons.
Thanks for listening. Go check out the repo, write some plans, and we will see you on the next deep dive.